Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I want to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And that is your host, Motown Maurice.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. You are too beautiful. I always, always appreciate that welcome. It is Thursday, October 27th, and this is Motown Maurice. Yes, the future of late night television. Back online for Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. It is about 10 a.m. here in Southern California, and I am ready to have another great show. I just came from a great event hanging out with some of my Southern California Rattlers. Yes, if you didn't know, I am a Florida A&M Rattler, the school on the tallest hills of Tallahassee, Florida, and I'm excited. I just met up with some of my peoples. You know, we all bleed the orange and green, and we had a good time at Southern Girl Desserts at a little FAMU run fundraiser. But we got good things ahead, as I told you just recently. You know, I'm up the ante on my show. We got a guest coming in every day, so make sure you check in, check the schedule. Check out www.blogspot.com/Motown Maurice. You'll see the lineup of guests. And you can also go to my website, MotownMaurice.com, and you can see everything that's got going on, all my events, all my adventures and things like that. So let's get focused right now, and let's start talking about the guest for the show today. Very interesting and very special, and I'm very elated to talk to this person. He's an entrepreneur, he's a speaker, he's a filmmaker, he is an executive producer, and now he's the author of the book, The Power to Get Wealth, No Money Required. Yes, 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 indeed. He is on the line. Please put your hands together for Keith Douglas. Brother Keith Douglas, you are on the line. How are you doing?
I'm doing super, my man. What about yourself?
Hey, I can't complain. I'm talking to you, and you got the power of knowledge to spread to not only me but to the people. So, hey, I can't be doing better than that, right?
Exactly. If it gets any better, I'm going to complain.
I know. So, look. I want to talk about your background just a little bit, you know, before we get into this book that everybody's ready to hear about. You come from a rocky background, grew up in the south side of Chicago, not the west side, but the south side. So that, I know that's you know, you've been through it. And you've also had some trouble with dyslexia as a child. So, you know, expound on that a little bit.
Well, yeah, I do come from the south side of Chicago, and you know, when I was coming up as a kid, there was a lot of crime and violence in the inner cities of Chicago. So it was a lot of things that I saw as a kid on the street. It was common for me to maybe see a dead body somewhere or somebody with a needle in their arm. So those things were very, very tragic as a kid coming up. But also, as a kid, I suffered from something that's called dyslexia. It's a disease that people have, and it's a real common disease that people have. And I was pretty much labeled as a troubled youth simply because I had that disease and didn't understand why I was reading things backwards. So when I was in the class, I would always horseplay or make up excuses on how I can get out of the class. Although I could recite what the teacher was saying and I was an A student, but I basically couldn't face my disability. So I would rather just horseplay or disrupt the class and get out of class. And that resulted in me to becoming a troubled youth. So therefore, I was in the hallways and alleys hanging out with the drug sellers and the troubled kids and all of the pimps and all the different things that was in the street. I was exposed to that world at a very young age.
Wow. So did they put you in, like, special classes because of that, or you were just always disruptive and not in class?
Well, by me having the disability, it resulted to me to getting kicked out of every elementary school as well as every junior high school. My disability wasn't identified until I was basically in the midst of going to an all-boys school in high school.
Wow. And who identified your disability?
It was my mom because, like I said, I became like a real good actor. Like I was saying to you, that I could actually recite what the teacher would say. I could also recite what my mom was saying at home. So I knew everything, but I just couldn't express it on paper. So one day me and my mom was driving somewhere, and she asked me to read the directions to get to an address that she was looking for. And I read that. She insisted I read it, even though I tried to get around it. I read the address, and I read it backwards. And that's when she realized something was wrong. She said, say it again.
Wow.
Read that again. And she realized something was wrong at that point.
Wow. I don't know if this is a bad comparison, but this whole story you're telling me reminds me of Drumline, the movie with the star. What's his name?
Nick Cannon.
He's married to Mariah Carey right now.
Yeah, Nick Cannon.
Yeah, Nick Cannon. And in the movie, he couldn't learn. He could not learn how to play the music, the music as a snare drummer, but he could memorize all of the tunes, and then they eventually found out, oh, he doesn't know how to read music. You ever see that movie?
Yeah, I saw that movie, and it's funny that you said that, because when I first saw that movie years ago, it really, really touched me really, really hard, because it was my story. He was the best drummer, but he couldn't read the music, so it enabled him, but he didn't let his disability disable him. So although I had a disability, I was never disabled. And that's one message I want to get across to the people. You could have a disability, but you don't want to be disabled.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you a little bit. Why don't you repeat that last line? You can have a disability, but...
You can have a disability, but you don't want to be disabled. And I want people to get that message. You can have a disability, but you don't want to be disabled, because there's always hope for the future. So if I would have given into my disability, it would enable me to be the person I am to this day. So I challenged my fears, and I won.
Nice. That's what it's all about. And you've taken everything that you experienced and learned, and you put it into a book. And this book is powerful. And a lot of the book was actually, from my understanding, inspired by taking the time out to visit a lot of your friends who were troublemakers, who spent a lot of time in jail, helping them out. And through that process, you came up with a lot of that in your book, right?
Yes. And what actually happened was, by me basically being hanging in the hallway with the so-called troubled youth, and hanging on the streets with the gang members and all of those particular elements, I had a chance to basically identify with that particular world, and I found out there was a lot of people that was hanging in the hallways with me that had the same disability. And not only having the same disability, maybe they was hanging in the hallways because they didn't have any compassion or love, or they were coming from broken homes where they were depressed. So I learned through experience in life all of the things that actually helped me to write this particular book, because I actually experienced these things. And then what I would basically do is I was still a leader right there where I was. So even though I may have not been a leader as far as being in college and doing the normal things what normal people do going to school, I was still a leader among the gang members, still a leader among the people that was in the streets. So what I would do is, by being a leader, I was their friend. If they went to jail or something like that, I would go visit them. They would tell me what they were facing. I would take their information, because I was very, very smart. I would go look it up, and then I would find out what they can do, and I would give them counsel and tell them what they should do. And I had so much success basically by implanting that knowledge and information inside of people that it literally just turned into like a whirlpool, and that's what I draw it off of.
Nice. So in this book, it helps you overcome debt, lack of self-esteem, depression, lack of self-esteem, and fear, and all these different things. Is that correct?
Yes, it does.
Wow. So you mean to tell me I can read this book and I won't need to take Prozac or Axel or anything like that?
Well, remember what I just said, that you know, you may be suffering with a disability, but you don't want to have a mindset as if you're disabled. So
yeah.
My book basically has simple steps inside of it that will help a person that is suffering from anxiety to get around, a person that's suffering from debt, a lack, to get around it. And as we go further in this interview, I'll explain some of those principles to you, and I'm quite sure you and the audience will get it because I'm excited and ready to let it out, brother.
Go ahead. Hit me up with the first principle.
The first principle is, you know, the true meaning of wealth. You know, my book is called The Power to Get Wealth, No Money Required. Now, that may sound a little crazy to people because in today's society, people feel that they got to have money in order to do something. But my book basically is a book that is based on spiritual principles as well as natural principles. And the difference between the two is one, natural, which means within your ability, and supernatural, meaning outside of your ability. So I am showing people how to operate in the supernatural. And supernatural basically means outside of your ability. So the gifts and the goals that we have inside of us that God has given us, those are natural gifts that we're giving. And a lot of us, we're not basically identifying with the gifts and goals that are inside of us because we're so busy looking outside of us, searching for so many different things, that we miss what God has already placed inside of us. So the misperception of wealth is that wealth really doesn't have anything to do with money. The word wealth literally means all needs met. That's what wealth means, all needs met. So, for instance, if you stayed in a one-bedroom apartment, if you stayed in your car, but you were happy, you knew who you were, whose you were, you're wealthy. Mm-hmm. So my book and the principles in my book is to help everybody realize that you are wealthy, and you don't want to be put in a position where if you don't have money or you don't have the things of life that you can't move forward and accomplish what you want to accomplish. It's no difference if you were working at a fast food restaurant. People have goals and gifts and inspirations to be things in life, but if you work at a job that you're not really, really comfortable with, but you're there, it's very important to have a great attitude because your attitude will lead to your altitude. So if you do that job with excellence and you do that job with high self-esteem and you feel good about yourself, who you are and whose you are, it's not going to be that long before you go from flipping the fries or the burgers to actually being a manager, from a manager to possibly being running the corporation. So I just show people how they can really, really advance in life and not get caught up with the misperception of wealth. And I'll say it once again, last but least, the true meaning of wealth is all needs met.
All needs met. Needs met.
Yes.
So when someone unlocks their true meaning, are they also unable to, you know, unlock their potential? You know, and can you give me an example of someone who has unlocked their potential possibly through some of your speaking or your book?
Okay, I have countless individuals. I'll give you one example. I have a young man who I basically met a few years ago, maybe about 5 years ago. And basically he was a troubled youth like I was as a kid. And I set that kid down and I said to him, I said, hey, what is your dream? What is your goal? What do you want to do in life? And the kid just lit up and told me all the things that he wanted to do. And then I asked the kid, I said, well, what do you think is stopping you from doing what you have to do? And the kid said to me, well, you know, I need the money. And I said to him, I said, okay, you need the money? I said, okay, so you need the money for what? The kid said, you know, I'm an artist, and I need the money. I need the material so I can buy the stuff so I can start drawing, and I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. So I said to the kid, I said, okay. I said, now, you just explained to me the gifts and the goals that are inside of you and what you're good at. And he said, yes. He said, I'm very, very good at talking, very, very good at helping. I said, so if you're good at talking and helping, I said, what happens if you actually take that talking and that helping that you have that you're good at and you actually go intern somewhere? And you can basically learn and you can actually make a little money on the side. He said, yes, I would love to do that if I had the opportunity, if someone would give me a shot. I said, okay, I'm going to give you a shot. So I actually took this kid in as an intern. And what he did was he basically came in and I actually helped him as far as the intern because he was helping me in return. He got materials. He began to start drawing and doing the things that he had to do. And then I actually showed him exactly how to take his art to the next level. And this particular kid started an art company that basically deals with actually creating skateboards and as far as surfing boards with murals on the outside of them, and this kid is actually a multimillionaire to this day because of that.
Wow. That is amazing. You see, a lot of go ahead.
And the principle that I want to give you is that it didn't take money for him to get to that point. We have a generation of youth today that are basically, you know, destroyed because they are basically looking at things and looking at all of the material things in life and dictating the things of life to determine who they are and whose they are. It's important to know that if you got a good recipe, which everybody got a good recipe inside of them, it is no different, you know, if you're like your grandmother got a good cake, a good cookie. If people taste that cake or cookie and eat it, they love that cake and cookie, and they're going to want some more. So God has placed a recipe inside of all of us. So we just got to take that recipe and bring it to the forefront, and that recipe will actually bring us money, wealth, and it's no limits to where we can go. But we cannot be blinded because of the misperception of wealth. And we see today in the industry, we see so many actors, entertainers with so much money and so much material things, but they're always caught up into scandals and everything seems to be going wrong. They're in and out of jail. Money is not going to make you happy. The things that's going to make you happy in life are free, and those are the things that God has already placed inside of you.
Wonderfully said, wonderfully said. Now, branching off a little bit, is meditation a part of the process that you offer in your book?
Meditation is also one of the process because it's important to know that we live in a society, a social networking society. We live in a society, a fast food society. Everything is going really, really fast. And everybody today is always into someone else's business or doing someone else's business. I'll say it again. They're either in someone else's business or they're doing someone else's business. And they spend less time basically doing their own business and looking at themselves and who they are and whose they are. So it's very, very important that you take time out for prayer, meditation, and relaxation. That is a must because in today's society, the enemy likes to keep us busy in the kingdom. And I'm saying the enemy likes to keep us busy in the kingdom simply because, my brother, I'm talking to you naturally and I'm also talking to you supernaturally. So I'm going back and forth for a particular purpose because there may be some people who are listening today that don't understand supernatural principles. But when they read my book, it'll be explained to them plainly to understand supernatural principles. In other words, what I'm saying to you is in order for God to be able to work for us, he has to be able to work through us. So it's important that we learn how to let go and let God. So it's important to take time out for yourself so you can identify who you are and whose you are.
So you have to be a Christian to read your book and to understand your book. Is that like a prerequisite?
No, you don't have to be a Christian to read my book. And, you know, once again, a Christian simply means one who is Christ-like. And my book actually comes against religion. My book is not a religious book. My book is a spiritual book, but it's not a religious book, you know, because the Bible says that religion choketh the spirit. So it's important to know that you have to be free. You have to let God to be able to work for you once again. He has to be able to work through you. So my book shows you how to pretty much let go and let God. And when you read it, you will understand it naturally, and then there are spiritual principles there to support it. As you grow, you'll just elevate.
Yes, yes, yes. Well said. So you sound like the type of brother that takes the time out and believes in destroying religious barriers. Is that so?
Oh, definitely. Yes, definitely. You know, I'll tell you this. You know, today the church is doing the same thing the gang members are doing. They're sect tripping in the name of God. Where are you from? What church you go to? Where you worship? Mm-hmm. That's what the churches are doing. And that's not important. What is important is that you have a relationship with God, and you have a relationship with yourself. So my book comes against religion, and I make that very, very plain and simple in my book that I basically come against religious barriers because we have so many churches and so many denominations and so many different divisions, but the word says, Christ says that there's one faith, one baptism. So it's important to know that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you believe, it's about positivity and it's about becoming one. And it's not about being judgmental, and it's not about condemning people and pointing the finger at people. My book is a free book, and it basically just enhances. It's motivational.
Wow. So how does your book tell me a tool out of your book that can essentially help a musician, an actor, an artist, someone that is trying to further their career. Do you have any tools for them?
Yes, and I love your questions, my brother. I'm telling you, your questions are just blowing me away. I love it. And I want to ask them also, too. So let me give you some tools, since you said tools. It's called networking because you got to have something in your net in order to network. So I wanted to say to give you some tools. In my book, I teach people the power of their dreams and their vision.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once again, the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say there's no fasting, where there's no praying. It says where there's no vision, the people perish. And the word perish is a strong word. It means to suffer spiritual death.
Mm.
So it's important to know that whenever God gives you a dream or vision, it actually leads to your provision.
Mm-hmm.
Your vision leads to your provision. In other words, what I'm saying to you is this. All of us, we get dreams and we get visions. And you have to understand the difference between the two. There's a big difference between a dream and a vision. Dreams don't always come true, but visions do.
That's right.
So when God gives you a vision, it's important that you're obedient to what he tells you because it's your provision. And I predicate that off of the scripture. The Bible tells us in Habakkuk 2:2 to write the vision and make it plain. So it's important that when God gives you a vision, that you write down what God has told you. It is your recipe. It is your provision. Where would we be right now if the prophets was not obedient to the vision that God given them? We wouldn't have a book that's coming from Genesis to Revelation. So it's important for us to know that those dreams and those ideas that God is giving us, that's our provision. So that's the tools that I want to give you. It's important to know that obedience is greater than sacrifice. So whenever God gives you a vision, it is no different than Moses receiving the commandments. If you're obedient to your vision, it will come to pass. Just like your show. Your show will come to pass if you're obedient and if you follow the vision that God has given you. So I show people how to follow the vision that God has given them and kill the misperception of, oh, I got to have the money in order to start the show, or I have to have the money in order to start the network. There's people who lived in their car and became millionaires and wealthy. There's more entrepreneurs who are millionaires than individuals who went to college with degrees. So it's about understanding that your dreams are not a figment of your imagination. If you believe what God has told you, and if you're obedient to what God has told you, it will come to pass. But you cannot go worry. You have
to
stay the course.
You're taking it to church today. All right, I feel you there.
Amen.
Because I'm with you 100%. Because I run into people all the time, and they put so much concentration and money, and they fail to realize that we live in a world with an abundance of resources. You never go to the grocery store and say, I wonder if they ran out of apples or cucumbers. No, because it's always there. And the resources that we need to get to where we need to be are there, too. We just got to gravitate to them. We got to get them, right?
Exactly. And what you said was so important. The grocery store got a lot of apples, and the grocery store got a lot of groceries. But here's something that's very, very important. People normally back for what they want and pay for what they need. They
say
that
one more time.
People normally back for what they want and pay for what they need. If you catch a homeless man on the corner asking for money, he takes the money at the end of the day. What do he go do with the money? He go get what he needs. So it's important to know that we cannot let money stunt us. We cannot let the things of life stunt us. So my book is a book showing you that God has already placed things inside of you that's going to bring money to you. The scripture says that your gift will make room for you and bring you before mighty men. Just think about that. Your gift is so big that they got to make room for it. No one can suppress your gift but you.
That's right.
But the average person don't know that because we grew up in a society of deception. We're taught as kids to go to school, get as much education as we can, get as much as we can, and not realizing that none of that really has nothing to do with wealth. So I want everybody to know that they are wealthy. And once you start feeling wealthy, once you start getting it in your bones, and once you start to know who you are and whose you are. You start to see wealth all around. You see all the gifts and goals that you have. If you're a father, you see all the gifts and goals that are in your kids that God has given you. You see all the gifts and goals that are in your wife. You see all the gifts and goals that are in your friends. There's abundance amount of wealth around us. It is no excuse for none of us to fail.
That's right. I believe our only one of our only obligations in life is to discover our potential and our purpose. Is that right?
That's true, but this is where the problem comes in at.
Okay.
See, the Bible says that we call those things that be not as though they were.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us are calling things that we want. We're calling things that we think that be not as though they were. But like I was telling you about vision, whenever God gives you a vision, you got to lock it in, and then you can call those things that be not as though they were, because God has already given you a promise, like he gave Moses a promise. He gave Jesus a promise. He gave Abraham a promise. When God gives you the vision, it leads to your provision. So we can't call things that be not as though they were unless we know what was said to us, or we're guessing. And a lot of us are guessing, and that's not what God wants us to do. He says we know not what we should pray for. It's important to know that we want the things that God has in store for us. He said that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor is it entered into the heart the things that he have in store for those who believe. So if you believe your dream and you believe your vision, it will come to pass.
Yep. Amen.
But
now,
people,
for those of you might have answered this, if you made it, you might have answered this already, but just in case you didn't. Now, for those who know what their dream or their vision is, what is the first, you know, few steps that you take to lock it down?
The first thing is you have to write it down. You can't build a house or a building without a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step is that you got to write it down. Once you write it down, you begin to build. It's just like if you was to build a building. You get a blueprint first. You write the blueprint down, you come up with a plan, and you work towards your plan. And that's what faith is all about. If I got faith that I want to buy a T-shirt that costs $10.99,
mm-hmm.
I can save a dime a day, and eventually I'm going to get that T-shirt. Or I can save a dollar a day. Or I can save $5 a day. Or I can get the whole 10 and go buy it. It's based on your faith.
That's right.
So the Bible says that we. So the Bible says that if we had the faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. So it's important. Why don't we have the faith the size of a mountain and just a mustard seed? It's all about your faith.
Okay. Well said, well said. Hey, look, Brother Keith, we are running out of time, so I want to give you this opportunity to go ahead and give your final thoughts to the audience and plug your website and how they can find you.
Okay, well, they can actually find me on KeithDouglas.org. Once again, KeithDouglas.org. I'm also on Twitter. Basically, is Keith RKD Music on Twitter. And actually, what I would like to say just to close is that I want everybody to know out there that they are wealthy. And don't let the enemy or don't let nobody steal their dreams and steal their visions. So it's important to stay motivated and believe what's implanted inside of you already. You're successful and you're wealthy. And when you get the book and read it, I guarantee you, you're going to be impressed, you're going to be motivated, and you're going to be filled, and you're not going to have to even pay a penny to get those principles.
What's the name of the book one more time?
The Power to Get Wealth, No Money Required.
That's right. You heard it from Keith Douglas himself. You are wealthy, Keith. I really, really appreciate you having you on the show. I got to have you back because this was powerful. 30 minutes went by too fast.
Thank you, brother. Your questions were powerful also, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you liked the question. You know, I wanted to hit it home so, you know, this could be useful to you and useful to the audience. I really appreciate that. So before I let you go, I do have one more question. I know you liked my question, so hopefully you like this question, all right? What
yeah,
I need to know from you is, who is the future of late-night television?
Under a shadow of a doubt, pound for pound, it is Motown Marcus.
You know you done messed up a name. You had it half right. It's Motown Maurice. Let's try again.
Motown Maurice, pound for pound.
Who's the future of late night television?
Yeah, I'm telling you, you're Mayweather. Motown Maurice, pound for pound. Late night.
Hey, brother. Thank you very much. Hey, they got to get ready. Hey, now that I got the knowledge from your book, they better get ready even quicker. So thank you very much, and we'll talk again, all right?
Yes, God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what an interview. Not only was it very informative and entertaining, I got a name change at the end of the interview, but it is all good. That is knowledge. That is wealth. That is prosperity, ladies and gentlemen. Get that book, The Power to Get Wealth, No Money Required. You heard that? No money required. They normally say you got to have money to make money, but he said no money required. Check out Keith Douglas, ladies and gentlemen. This is Motown Maurice signing off. Check me out on my website, MotownMaurice.com. Until next time.